Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. Why don't we stand as we begin our time and you join us online. You can stand if you like, or you can kneel, you can lift your hands. Maybe you're a little freer at home. But what a blessing to be able to gather and to worship, to draw near the Lord and He us. We have that promise, if we'll draw near Him, He will draw near to us. And Lord, we thank You for that promise. And especially in light of the times that we're in, the uncertainty, the unrest, the anxiety. We're so glad we can come and meet with You and cast our cares upon You and draw near You and You us. And thank You for that promise, Lord, that You'll meet with us. You said where two or three would gather, You'd be right there. And so we want to worship You. We want to bless You and receive from You those things that You want to so freely give. And so we ask, Lord, Your blessing upon us. We think about those that are hurting physically, those that are fearful, that You would, Lord, that You would give them peace, those that are struggling with sicknesses and even concerned about this virus, Lord. We think about the Hernandez family. Lord, bless them and heal them up, keep them. Bless Diane, Bill and Grace, so many, Lord, that just battle health issues. My wife, and Lord, bless us that we might bless You and worship You and that we could have this time together. And so we commit it to You and we ask again for Your blessing. We thank You that You're a God who loves to bless, who hears our prayers, able to save, able to heal, able to minister, able to bring peace, able to calm our hearts and our fears, able to provide. Lord, You're able. And so we want to worship You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless and all in wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That You would take my place. That You would bear my cross. You laid down Your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing. All that You've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nation with truth and justice. Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yes, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That You would take my place. That You would bear my cross. That I would be set free. that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Be seated.
I see the work of your hands. Galaxies spinning, a heavenly dance. Oh God, all that you are, so overwhelming. I hear the sound of your voice. All at once it's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are, so overwhelming. I delight myself in you, captivated by your beauty. I'm overwhelmed by you. God, I'll run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. God, all that you've done is so overwhelming. I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm overwhelmed by you. God, I'm overwhelmed by you. You give love, you are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath, it's our love. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath, it's our love. So we pour out our praise.
His treasure.
as wounds which mar the chosen one. Bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Romans chapter 6. So we prayed already for the Hernandez family. Keep them in prayer. Jose was exposed to the coronavirus, so keep them in prayer. And they're not symptomatic, praise the Lord, and may they not be. But we just want to pray for them and for Diane too, and continue to pray for my wife. Lord willing, she'll be here next service. Seems like she's doing a little better today. But Bill and Grace and others that just, you know, day in and day out battle health issues. And we want to pray for them. And we want to pray for our leaders, especially in these times right now. But we're commanded always to be praying for them. And there's so many needs in our world. And we're really kind of aware of them because the need is touching everybody. And speaking of which, we want to keep our missionaries in prayer. Hopefully you have a bulletin. You can check it online too as well. And it lists some of our missions. But the Gospel for Asia, we pray for Sister Miriam in her ministry to women and children primarily, and how the Lord's using her. But we've sent a gift to them, an additional gift, along with our support of Sister Miriam because of the need in light of this virus. And so if anyone would like to give toward that, they could just note that on their offering, and we'll make sure it gets to them. But because of the lockdowns in India, actually all throughout Asia, it's really heightened the need for those that are just barely making it. They live just day by day, barely. And so the Gospel for Asia has been reaching out. They have lots of ministries to meet practical needs, but now, right now, the biggest need is just getting them food. And so I want to pray for that as well. And then for our time in the Word. So, Lord, we lift all these things to you without restating them all. You know the needs that we have of even before we ask. And we're so glad we can cry out to you and that you hear our cry. And there's other needs, Lord, on our hearts. We have prodigals and unbelieving friends and family, neighbors. Lord, we just ask for your blessing, for your Spirit to minister, to heal, to save, to direct. We pray for our leaders. We pray now for our time in the Word, that you would speak to us, that we would have ears to hear what you would say. And we thank you that you want to speak to us. Thank you for your Spirit. Jesus, you said you would send him, and he's come, and he's with us. May we hear what he has for us in this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in Romans chapter 6, we're going to read about slaves. And it's used as an illustration. And it alludes to having the right master. In fact, that's the issue. You want to make sure you have the right master. And we'll read our scripture in a moment. But it's been said that it's not finding the right freedom. You know, it's not if I could only do this or if I could only do that. And we talked about that last time and where that would lead, being able to do whatever you wanted to do and the dangers involved with that. So it's not necessarily finding the right freedom, but it is finding the right master. And the Bible makes it clear you're serving, you either serving, well, self or God, sin or righteousness. It's cut and dry. Jesus said you're either gathering with me or you are scattering. You are either for me or you are against me. And thank God for the clarity that we have in the Word in this confusing time. Thank God there's real clarity for life and death issues that really matter. And so having the right master, well, I don't serve anybody. I am my own maker. I'm an American. What are you talking about, man? I have my inalienable right, liberty. And or like Henley wrote, I'm the captain of my own fate, the master of my own soul. Invictus, unconquerable. I'm free. I live in Chaz, in this new country. And so people think that and feel that way. Chaz, in case you hadn't heard, that's the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle. And they have a little 6-block area, and they're free. Man, they're autonomous. They're free. Although they're open to donations for food, you know, for some vegan type foods and so forth. And not to make fun of them or mock them, but it's kind of an easy target. Let's pray for them. Man, they think they're free, but they're not free. Oh, we're free. Yeah, and your little 6 blocks. And you still, you know, if there's a fire, there's a need for police, either you will police yourself. In fact, they've got these little mini tyrants that are being raised up among them. They're discovering where freedom leads, quote unquote, aren't they? And we see it. We see it play out. Just like Dylan said, that old sage, you know, you got to serve somebody. It may be the demo, it may be the law, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Serve somebody. Remember that song? I love that song. Dylan, he had a little brush with Christianity and put an album out. It's a great truth. It's a great truth. Sorry for my Dylan impersonation. Some of you are going, the bells. But it's true. It's true. So who is your master? Who do you serve? Who do you really serve? Are you happy with your master? Well, our scripture will help us to answer that. Who we really serve, who we ought to serve. Again, it's not the right freedom that we ultimately want to find, but the right master. If we have the right master, we'll find that we're truly free. And, of course, the right master is the Lord. Jesus is the right master, and what a gracious and loving, liberating Lord that He is. Let's read about this issue of being a slave to sin or a slave of God. So picking up in verse 15, He says, "What then? Shall we continue in sin? Or shall we sin rather?" Notice it's different than the "what then" in chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Here it shall we sin. And because we are not under law. So before it was, shall we continue in sin because we're under grace? So we got all this grace. Should we keep on sinning? No, you're dead to sin now. That's behind you. You're alive to God. Live for God now. Well, but what about the law? I mean, shall we sin? What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? So Paul is covering every angle on how the human mind would think. And so he says, what then? Shall we sin? Let's read through this section now. Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, life and death issues here. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And notice the contrast, wages and gift. Notice the contrast between sin and righteousness. Notice how sin and righteousness have been personified. And it's as if to say, concerning this issue of slavery, slaves used 8 times in this section, 10 times in Romans, 8 times or maybe 12 times, I forget the actual numbers, but 8 times here in this section. That is this word doulos, translated slave. It's used a whole bunch of other times, some 100 times in the New Testament. In any event, notice that sin and righteousness are personified. And they're personified in that they are a slave either to one or another. Notice in verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin or leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. So sin is personified. And using these personal pronouns, the idea is that this concept is made into a person so that it can illustrate these great truths. And so the right master, obviously, let's see, death, life, obedience to righteousness or sin leading to death. Who do I want to serve? So it's not rocket science. Thank God for that. There's great clarity. Thank God for that. But the right master, obviously, is, it's not sin, but it's righteousness. It's not sin, but it's righteousness. Now we know that. Even those that say that there isn't a God even know that it's not good to do what's wrong, even though they're not real clear on what's right and wrong. But they have a right and wrong in their own mind. Everybody has that. Everybody has a sense of that. Everybody has a sense of, well, I ought to or I shouldn't. And so, yet, the choice is often made to serve sin and not righteousness. And notice also the contrast, too, between sin and obedience leading to righteousness, or sin leading to death. And you would think righteousness leading to life would be the opposite, but it's obedience leading to righteousness. So, sin or not obeying, that's the choice. Obedience that leads to righteousness, not obedience that leads to death, not sin that leads to death. And again, sin, we've talked about it many times, but let's refresh our memories. We've all sinned, and sin is deadly. There are what's called the 7 deadly sins: pride, envy, gluttony, lust, anger, greed, and sloth. Pride is the belief in one's own abilities that interferes with the individual's recognition of the grace of God. It has been called the sin from which all others arise. Pride is also known as vanity. Envy is the desire for others' stuff, status, or situation. Gifts, abilities, traits, envy, wanting what others, or covetousness. So, gluttony, an inordinate desire to consume more than that which one requires. Lust, an inordinate craving for the pleasures of the body. Anger is manifested in the individual who spurns love and opts instead for fury. It is also known as wrath. Greed. And I mixed up envy and greed. Greed is also covetousness. So envy, you know, I want what others have. Greed is the desire for material wealth or gain, ignoring the realm of the spiritual. It is also called avarice and covetousness. So the desire for stuff, not envy the desire for your stuff. This two sides of the same coin, I suppose. Then sloth is the avoidance of physical or spiritual work. These are the what's called the seven deadly sins characterized by somebody way back in the day. In any event, sin, falling short of the glory of God, transgressing, crossing over a line, iniquity, you know, that internal things aren't right, the twisting of things is the idea behind iniquity. You know, again, it's not doing what we should or doing what we shouldn't. Sins of omission, sins of commission. And to protect oneself against temptation toward the seven deadly sins, you need humility against pride, kindness against envy, abstinence against gluttony, chastity against lust. Well, these are like bad words now. But these are virtues. Chastity against lust, patience against anger, liberality against greed, and diligence against sloth. The seven heavenly virtues, faith, hope, love, fortitude, justice, temperance, and prudence. So, shall we sin? He asks. So, what master do you serve? Do you serve sin or righteousness? Do you serve sin or do you serve God? Do you serve sin or the devil or do you serve God? You got to serve somebody. Who do you serve? Who do you really serve? Now, the Christian would say, well, I'm under grace. I'm not under the law. So, I mean, you know, I got my little weakness here or there, or this is just once in a while. I mean, I really try to do good. So is that okay? Well, what then? Shall we sin? And the idea, the tense is different than the first verse where it says, shall we continue in sin? That's present active. You know, you are presently sinning. Shall you? You know, since there's so much grace covers our sin, we're forgiven, we're saved by grace, which is true. Shall you just keep sinning? No. No, you've died with Christ and you're risen in Christ. And so leave the old life behind, walk in the new life. Well, but we're not under the law, so shall we sin? Now, this is the grammar is different. It's future indicative. It's the future tense. You know, well, what about, does that mean I got to let go of that thing I really like to do? Do I got to let it go? In the future, at some point in time, the indicative mood, you know, that. So in the future, do I have to let go of what I'm planning to do? Do I got to let go of that? Shall we sin? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? And what's his answer? No. Well, why? I thought we were saved by grace. Why? Well, because, man, you've been set free. You don't want to go back into bondage. You don't want to go back into servitude of sin. You want to be a servant of righteousness and of God, don't you? Isn't that what you want now? Didn't you realize, man, living in this old world and this old life, this old way, the way that everybody else lives in the world, there's no life there. I want to live in this new life with a new master. I want to serve the Lord. And so the right master isn't sin, it's righteousness. Why? Well, because one leads to ruin, the other one leads to righteousness. One leads to ruin, and the other to righteousness. One leads to liberty, the other leads to bondage. One leads to life, the other leads to death. And notice that. So, certainly not. Do you not know? So that's a key word again. We've seen it earlier in the chapter. This is the way he addresses this argument, how to address the problem with sin. Previously, it was know this, and then reckon it, count on it, and then so present yourself to God. And here, it's the same argument again with a little bit of a twist to it, but the same concept. And the first is, don't you know this? Don't you know? Don't you realize to whom you present yourself slaves to obey? You are that one slaves whom you obey? So you want to go back to sin and be a slave to sin again? Where did sin lead you? Didn't it lead you to death or at least to emptiness? And he talked about, you know, things you're now ashamed, verse 21. So do you want to go back to that? You want to wind up going to ruin? There's a danger, isn't there? I think some don't recognize the great danger of sin and how it enslaves. You are that one slaves whom you obey. Remember Jesus said, and we quoted it last time, I quoted it, John chapter 8, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. John chapter 8, 34. But if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then verse 36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And so, do you want to continue in sin? Because you're not under the law, but under grace? No, don't do it. Certainly not, because you'll be enslaved again. It will enslave you. Now, again, this word slave, translated, or doulos, translated slave, refers to either those that are voluntary slaves in the Roman Empire, which had about 60 million slaves, some estimates tell us. And then there's the voluntary and the involuntary. This isn't just African slavery like the antebellum slavery in our own country, of which we're ashamed of and still affected by. But I've come a long way, thank God, and may we continue in our progress. But this slavery was as a result of Rome conquering the world and taking prisoners of war from all over Europe, all over North Africa, all over the Middle East, and then bringing them into slavery. That's one kind of slavery, and the word doulos covers that. The other kind is just the involuntary slavery. You could have a better life if you would sell yourself to somebody. You could actually become a doctor, like Luke. It's believed that he was a slave and got his medical training. Most of the doctors and the lawyers and the educated in the Roman world were slaves, most of them. And, you know, we understand that from indentured servitude in our country's history, or even, yeah, I kind of feel like that right now, man. I went to college and I still owe those guys. And you commit yourself to a certain amount of time to service because of the benefit of it. And so there's that kind of slavery. And Paul referred to himself as a bondservant. And he probably had the Hebrew concept, not the Greek, Roman, or Latin concept that I just mentioned. But the Greek one, Hebrew one, I hope I haven't confused you. I'm confusing myself. I hope that we're still clear. But the Hebrew concept was, in Judaism, you would be a slave for 6 years, and the seventh year you'd be set free, unless you wanted to continue to serve your master, because, man, it was great in your master's house. And so you become a bond slave. You become a willing servant. You would just pledge yourself to your master. In both cases, though, a slave isn't like an employee. You don't get nights off and weekends off. You don't get benefits. You are totally committed to the will of your master. And that's the idea. And so, even though it's important to maybe make those distinctions, and it'll be more important in a moment, the main thing that is in common is you are totally committed to the will of the master. So now, that's pretty important what kind of master you have. Sin is a horrible master, but the Lord, righteousness, that's a good master, and totally committed. And so, do you want to continue in sin? So shall we sin? So your sin, or your pet sin, or that sin you're thinking about, you know, that you're hoping to get to do, or that you're convicted over or struggling with, and calling it maybe a liberty, but maybe for you it's not a liberty. Maybe it's a sin the Lord is telling you to let go of, because it's leading you somewhere. It's leading you to servitude and serving sin rather than righteousness. So the caution here. Don't you know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Don't mess around with sin. It'll lead you back into bondage. And, you know, the alcoholic knows that. He can't mess around with being around alcohol. One drink and the next thing you know, he's done for. Now, maybe you could have one drink, but an alcoholic can't. And so sin, it's just dangerous. The recidivism rate in our prison systems, interestingly enough, is almost 70%. 70% reoffend. And the reason why they reoffend and go back to prison is because they don't get away from the sin. They go back to the old life. And before you know it, They're back in the old neighborhood with the old gang, with the old guys, and then they're doing the old things that got them in trouble, and then they get caught again, and then they're back in prison again. You would think that prison would teach a lesson that you'd never have to learn. You would think that the grip of sin would teach a lesson that you would never have to learn. But I tell you, sin is, it's sneaky and diabolical. It's dangerous. It's deadly. Sin is deadly. And we forget this. The wages of sin is death. Sin leads to death. It's deadly. Well, but it's just a little sin. I mean, hey, we're not under the law. We're under grace. It's just it's just a little sin. It's deadly. Sin is deadly, and that's his point. See, we're saved by grace through faith. God has set us free because he has something better for us. That's a righteous life. He wants us to be righteous and experience life and real freedom and real righteousness and real life, not this fake life. He wants to lead us to life. He wants to lead us to himself where there truly is life, eternal life, a quality of life. And so it's one or the other. And so this idea of continuing in sin, don't do it. The wages of sin is death. Sin is deadly. You know, I'm being repetitive intentionally. Sin is deadly. So, Christian, can you mess around with sin? Should you mess around with stuff that's deadly? So the coronavirus. You know, people are pretty concerned about the coronavirus, and rightly so, because if you're in a certain age group and you have certain morbidities or whatever those terms are, I'm probably not saying it right, man, there's a certain person that's really vulnerable. Do you think they're going to mess around with it? Or, you know, pick any disease or virus. Do you want it? Can I give it to you? Can you have a little bit of it, mess around with it? I kind of want to see what it's like. Sin is deadly. Sin leads to death. And our sin. So, yeah, but I can handle it. Yeah, but what effect does your sin have on your children or your, you know, husband or your wife or your friend or your neighbor? What effect does that have? It's deadly. Are they going to catch it? Well, you know, Dad does it or my friend does it or it's not that bad. Hey, I mean, we're saved. We're not under the law. We're saved by grace. Sin is deadly. And so many think that they're going to be okay, but man, they wind up going back to prison. They're hanging around the old stuff, going back to the old stuff, being drawn back to the old ways, the old things that have got to set you free from. Well, I'm free now. I have liberty. Yeah, so don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but through love, serve one another. And but that's the next point, and I'll get to it in just a moment, but one more scripture, and that is that we're to stand fast in the liberty in which Christ has made us free and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Man, don't mess around with sin. Don't get entangled again with a bondage. Sin leads to death. Sin leads to bondage. Sin is a terrible master. Don't mess with it. The little girl fell out of bed one night, and Mom said, you know what, sweetheart, how come you fell out of bed? And she said, well, I think I stayed too close to where I entered in. That's a good illustration, isn't it, of so many. Staying too close to where they enter into the Christian life. They're too close to sin, too close to the world, instead of going full on for the Lord and plumbing the depths of the Lord and the heights of the Lord. And they just stay kind of close. And sin is dangerous. And so the right master is obedience leading to righteousness, not sin leading to death. And you're free now, this is the second point, you're free now to live this righteous life. In verse 18, having been set free, you became slaves of righteousness. And he says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. And the idea is that I'm using this as an illustration because of the struggle that we have, the weakness of our flesh. And so I'm giving you this illustration of slavery, the master-slave relationship that's so prevalent that everybody is aware of. In fact, many of the Roman Christians were slaves and still are slaves. And so they get it. They understand it. And Paul is using it to say, so now that you have a freedom in the Lord, use that freedom the same way you used your freedom for sin. Use it now for the Lord. And so, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present or yield or offer or give your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness or sanctification. That word is also translated. This process of being set apart from sin to God and to righteousness. And so you've been set free. How will we set free? Let's remind ourselves. Remember in chapter 3, verse 24, saved by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And that word redemption is that word where they would go into a slave market and buy the slave, but not just buy the slave and set the slave free. That's the meaning of the word. I paid your debt, you're free now. And we're free now from sin and from death to obey God that leads to righteousness and sanctification and holiness. We're free now to live the life that we're called to live. And so, how should we live it? What should we do with that freedom? Well, again, not go back to the flesh, but live for God, serve God. Present your members as slaves of righteousness. We saw that last time when we were, in the previous verses about presenting our members as instruments of righteousness. Our members, parts of our body, as instruments, tools of righteousness. So we're the same thing. So don't you realize what sin does? You've been set free now. Use that freedom. Present your members to God and for righteousness. In other words, the hand that you used to use to steal with, don't do that, because that's going to lead to death. That's going to lead to bondage and death. Use your hand to work, and then use it to work and to give. That's righteousness. Use your eyes. Don't use your eyes for lust anymore. Use your eyes to look and see a need and seek to meet that need. Present your members as servants or slaves of righteousness. Serve. Yeah. Now, in other words, it's like starting a new job. You got a new job now. Or if you're a slave and now you have a new master. You used to work for sin and he was awful. And it was hard and harsh and it was leading to death. Now you have a new master, righteousness. And so you want to obey that master, God. And so, it's like having a new job. Okay, I don't work at the old job any longer. Maybe now you've gone from a competitor. You've gone from one competitor to another competitor. And so you don't want to benefit your old employment. You want to benefit your new employment. Show up for the new job. Present your members as slaves of righteousness. Because, and this is the third point, because you've been given freedom. What kind of freedom? Well, this master gives righteousness in life. The other master gives death. This master gives life. And so he says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You weren't concerned about righteousness before. You were just concerned about your old master, sin. But now, and then he goes on to say, what fruit did you have then of the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And so the idea is, think about your old life. Think about what you've been saved from. Think about what it was like. Where your old life was headed. My old life before I was saved. Man, I was empty. I'm ashamed of some of the things I did. I hope it never comes out. Thank God for His grace. And I almost lost my wife. And then my future sons and grandchildren. And all the ministry that the Lord has allowed me to have. All the relationships, the friendships. Man, I was headed for death. I was empty. I'm embarrassed. So he says, think about that. Think about that. You that are thinking, shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Shall we sin in the future? You're in church right now, or hopefully you're listening online and you're thinking, okay, I'm not sinning right now. Actually, I'm doing pretty good. Well, what about later today or tomorrow? What about that thing that you still, I don't know if I want to let go of that. Shall we sin? What fruit did you have when you lived a life of sin? Where will sin lead you? So think about that. So the three words, it's like there were the three words before, you know, know, reckon, and present. Here we have three words again, know, present, and then think about it. Think about, it's the orders, the way I'm teaching it, the order is a little different, but it's the same idea. Know this, reckon this, and then present yourself to God. So think about where you were. Think back. You know, think of the before and after. Man, if you saw a before and after of me, if you saw a before and after of me on the inside, man, I hope that picture never comes out. The wages of sin is death. Think about the stakes and the wages. And this is, the term was the soldier's pay. The soldier in the army, in the Roman army, would get his wages. He would get his pay. Just like you get paid for your job. Sin pays. Sin pays. Hey, sin pays. All right. Yeah, what does it pay? Oh, man, it pays. It's going to be great. What does it pay? Oh, sin, man, it's great. Yeah, what does it pay? It's death. That should just snap us out of it. But then the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The free gift. And the idea of the free gift in that culture was the emperor on his birthday or from time to time some great event happened in the empire, he would just give a free gift to the soldiers. And not by any merit, they would just get a free gift. And the gift of God, or the free gift of God, is eternal life. What does God give? He gives life. What does sin give? Death. So think about that. And maybe some need to come to your senses about all this. You're still thinking it's okay to sin. It's not okay to sin. Well, it's not that big of a deal because I'm under grace. I'm saved by grace. Yes, you are saved by grace. But sin leads to death. It'll kill you. It might kill those that you love. I mean, the impact of sin, we don't think about it. And he's saying, hey, think about it. Think about where it was, or where you were when you were in sin. Think about what sin does, what it leads to. Think about that. You think about one sin. What did one sin do to this universe? What did one sin do to heaven and earth? It ruined everything, didn't it? The devil's sin, and then that sin spilled out on earth, Adam and Eve's sin, and that sin is passed on to all men. Why is the world so messed up? Where did it all start? One sin. So you want to hold on to one sin? You don't think that's going to lead to something? You think you're going to be okay with it? Well, I'm lighten up, man. You know, I'm saved. And that's Paul's point, because there are those that are going to think like that. They're going to think it's okay to sin, not realize what it leads to. But the prodigal, remember, he came to his senses, you could say. Remember in Luke 15 where he came to himself, I think is the word that it's used. I'm going to turn there. The prodigal, he took his father's inheritance and just sinned. He lived prodigal, a prodigal life, which means wasteful. He just wasted everything. He just lived for himself. And then at the end of that, when it was all spent, this is what sin leads to, he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Man, he had nothing, and he was hungry. But then he said, we read, but he came to himself, or he came to his senses. And notice what he says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll rise and go to my father's house, and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Man, I'll serve my father. It's better to serve my father than to serve sin. Sin leads to emptiness and death. I'd rather serve my father. I'll go back and be a servant, and I'll pay everything back, you know, and I'll just be a servant of my father. That's way better. But it's better than that, isn't it? Because we know the rest of the story. He comes back, and his father sees him a great way off and runs out to him and embraces him. He doesn't get his whole, Father, I've sinned, and that's all he gets out, and I want to be your servant. No, 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 you're my son, and welcome back, and let's kill the fatted calf. That's the master I want. That's the one I want to serve. That's the one that God wants to be to us. So who is your master? Will you serve sin or God? Will you go back or go on? The right master, He will free you and lead you to righteousness and life. Sin is a great tyrant, but Jesus is the greatest of liberators. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. He has come that you would have life and enter into that life. Go deep into that life. The devil has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. And sin and the devil want to just destroy you and eat you alive. Don't mess with it. Leave it behind. Serve the Lord. Have Jesus as your master, as we sang back in the day, and maybe we'll sing it some more. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I think so many are attracted to the sin of the world or their pet sin because they're not looking at Jesus. They don't see the glory of Jesus. They're not, you know, they're too close to the edge. That's why they fall out of bed. They go back to the old gang instead of embracing the new family of God and keeping their eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus. We lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. Looking to Jesus, our eyes are on Jesus. You see Jesus, who loves you, gave His life for you, liberated you. You're not going to want to go back. Who heals you, who's got a glorious plan for you, you're going to want to go deeper in that relationship. And even if you get tripped up in some sin, you're going to quickly repent of it and cry out to Him, and He'll receive you. And maybe some are caught in it and need to come to their senses. Let's pray for that. Maybe you're coming to your senses and realizing, I need to come back to, man, it'd be better just to be a servant. But the Lord will make us so much more than a servant. He'll make us a son. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, we thank You for this great blessing, being in a relationship with You, of You being our Master. What a great Master. What a great Liberator You are, and how You gave Your life that we might have life and righteousness and live right. Oh, help us, Lord, to do that. Help us not to toy with sin or to mess with sin, to get it out of our lives, to lay it aside. Even the weights that would lead us to sin. Lord, help us to be wise and help us to keep our eyes on You and to look to You and to serve You and to set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Lord, may our heart be for You and for heaven and the things of heaven, not the things of this world. Turn our eyes upon You, that we would look full in Your face, that the things of this life would grow strangely dim in the light of Your glory and grace, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, God bless you.